That's mine. Really appreciate that. I'd like you to turn to Malachi chapter 3 for a couple of verses there. Malachi chapter 3. In some cases, Malachi is a very sad book to close out the Old Testament. People of Israel had really gone against the law of God, and they profaned the law of the Lord so many times. And God says, "You weary me with your words." Weary me? How could we weary you? That's how they reply. But God says, "You shed tears when you call upon me, and yet your heart is not with me. You've committed spiritual adultery and many other things that they had committed, and the Lord had to rebuke them." And several times you find that in the book. He said, "You've even robbed me. Wherein have we robbed you? In tithes." And so when we come to this portion, it's a bright light. In chapter 3, in verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it." Quite some time ago, I gave a word on enough, the word enough. You know, I've been going over it, and I've added a few others. And if a preacher doesn't preach his sermon to himself, then he might as well not be in the pulpit, and he's not worth his weight in 5 gallons of city water. Believe me. I'm really honest when I say that. We have to preach to ourselves. We have to let the word saturate our hearts. Those who minister the word here know what I'm talking about. You can't get up and minister to people and when your heart is not really living in the very things that you're preaching. And it's very difficult. That's why it's an awesome responsibility to preach the word of God. But here is a case where a bright spot. And I might ask the question, how much really is enough? How much? In this particular case, God is pouring out. He wants to pour us out a blessing where we can't even contain it. Pressed down, running over. And where he says, there won't even be room enough, he says, to receive it. Isn't that something? Not enough room. And that's exactly what God is doing every day. He's blessed us, and some of you were giving thanks tonight, and my heart was thrilled. I was amening with your thanksgiving, and even the song tonight, thanksgiving. And you know why? Because God has abundantly blessed. With all the problems of the world, we think of the earthquakes, the tornadoes, we think of famine, pestilences all over the world, and the devastation, the South, starvation in Haiti, and people don't even know where their loved ones are. Some are buried, not sure whether they will ever find them. Children that are swept out into eternity. And tidings or news comes to us every day, and it's very, very sad. But here we live in a little island, 2 miles long. We're blessed. 1,400 approximately population. I'm not sure exactly the figure, but we are blessed. We are a blessed people. And we have more, not thinking only of the physical things that we have from week to week. If that was all the blessing, believe me, it would be contemned. It would never satisfy. But it's the spiritual blessings we have. Where the doors are open of our chapels and where the word of God is preached freely. And we have no harassment, no persecution like they have in other parts of the world. Sudan, they're still committing genocide, killing people by the thousands. Christians are targeted for execution. If you're a believer, the Muslims target you for death. In Burma, it is no different. China, no different. North Korea, they're still killing Christians. I just heard recently again. They are martyring. They're killing a lot of believers. And yet, there are more believers every day, people who are giving their hearts to the Lord. I say this to mention the fact that while we are sheltered, We should always take that verse to heart. The goodness of God leadeth us to what? To repentance. We should really get before God and we should bow before Him. We should be grateful. We should be thankful for what He has done for us. The fact that we live here. And thank God. Thank God. He's promised it. He said, I will pour you out a blessing. Bring your tithes first. That's a condition. He's not asking for too much. And I'm not mentioning this to suggest that we should give more money or anything like that. No, I'm not the guardian of what you do. Except we need to obey Him as He has blessed us. We need to give Him back. And somehow or the other, I believe you do. And I'm not going to be the judge of those things. Only God knows and you know. But let me tell you, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outdo God. You try it. Try it. He will abundantly bless you. He will. That's the promise of His word. Bring in your tithe then. Bring it to me. And He says, into the storehouse. Might be a figure of speech. I don't believe God has a barn with shingles on it and got all His goodies there. No. But the storehouse is definitely a sphere of blessing that God wants to just pour it out to give it to you. It's a place that's filled, like Joseph of the Old Testament. He had the keys to the storehouse. And in the time of famine, when those boys went down there for corn and so forth, and it says that Joseph had the key to the storehouse. And our Lord Jesus, the greater Joseph, He has the key to the storehouse. And that storehouse is running over. It's filled to capacity. And listen, and He's taking, and He's doing, and He's giving, and He's giving, and He's giving. God always gives abundantly. He never does anything cheaply. He never does it in a small way. He says, and He said, and there will, in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. This is where we have our hang up. We don't prove God enough. I want you to prove me. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe in me that I'm going to give you these things. Hear it, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Here's a figure of speech perhaps again. And I will what? Pour you out a blessing. Pour it out. There will not be room enough to receive it. Enough to receive it. Oh, my friend, that's a promise of God. Secondly, Genesis 45:28. Here's the enough of joy. That's the enough of God's blessing. But here's the enough of joy. Jacob said, when he heard the news that Joseph was alive, at first he fainted. And when he was revived, they said, Daddy, it is true. Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. Can you imagine? All those years, he thought that he was torn by wild beasts because his sons lied to him. Like Jacob lied to his daddy. Now the boys lie to Jacob. And so here we have Jacob saying, it is enough. It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go to see him before I die. It must have been an excited old man when he got that news. My boy is alive. I can't imagine actually the extent of his excitement, but it must have been tremendous. Enough of joy. I've heard of a few preachers. I've read their life story. I've read their testimonies. And some of them have said that they have occasions where they've had so much joy, they've had to ask God to stop. Lord, if you don't stop pouring this joy in my heart, I'm going to die. D.L. Moody was one of them in particular that I'm thinking of, running down a Chicago street, that great famed evangelist. Thousands upon thousands of people were saved through his ministry. And he was overwhelmed with this great sense of joy, just lone joy. And he went into his hotel room, shut the door behind him, got on his face before God in that room, and he wept like a baby, not for sorrow, but for joy. And it was pouring. The joy of the Lord just filled his heart. And he had to actually cry to God and say, Lord, if you don't stop this joy, I'm going to die. Have you ever had an experience like that? I've never. But I tell you, when you're filled with the joy of the Lord, you'll be able to say, or may come to the place and say, like dear old Jacob, it is enough. It's enough. It's true. It's true. And you know something, we have a lot to be joyful about. Oh, beloved, let's really seek the Lord's face and its guidance, and that this joy truly will be part of our life. Genesis 33:9. Again, here are the two boys, Jacob and Esau, two brothers. And the last time Jacob saw Esau, Esau said, "I'll never rest until I kill him." He threatened to kill his own brother because Jacob had stolen the blessing. Actually, the blessing was to go to Jacob, but Jacob had really, under false pretenses, obtained the blessing. And Esau came to his father and said, "Oh, Father, please give me a blessing, one blessing. Bless me, please." And he said, "Jacob has been blessed, and he shall be blessed." And so Esau was angry with his brother. And so after many years, Jacob had to run, take away. In fact, he paid a very heavy price. He went away something like 20 years, and his mother died. And he never saw his mother again. His mother was the one that conspired, and she planned the whole thing for Jacob to leave home. And Jacob never saw his mommy again. That's a very high cost for sin, isn't it? And so he ran. And he runs from his brother. But now Jacob has prospered. He's got children. He's got animals, livestock. Many of them are with young. And then his men said, "Master Jacob, Esau is coming." And he was frightened. And so he put a group of the men there with the animals, and then he had another group, and about three different groups, if I remember correctly. I didn't read it all through today. I usually do. But the idea was to sort of soothe Esau, and maybe his anger would not be as great. So he sees the first group of people, said, "My master has these gifts for you." So to make a long story short, Esau came all right, but little did Jacob realize that Esau was not angry with him anymore. And he said, "What's the meaning of all of this? All of these things," he said to Jacob. And Jacob said something that's very strange. He says, "When I saw you, Esau, your face was like that of the face of God." He was being diplomatic. He started saying nice things about his brother Esau. And Esau said, "I don't need these gifts, Jacob." He said, "I have enough." And two boys, two brothers who were at enmity, or at least Esau, angry with his brother Jacob. And Jacob, for the first time in his life, said, "And I have enough." That is something for Jacob to say that. But he did have enough. Here is enough, I've labeled it, enough of contentment. To be contented is something that, if a man is contented, or a person, they have a lot of peace, they have a lot of rest. The most peaceful person in the world is a contented person. That's why we're warned in the Word of God, don't go out and grasp for riches. Riches may come, but don't go and seek it with all your heart, soul, and mind. Be content with such things as you have, says the Word of God. Because contentment is godliness before the Lord. And these are the two boys that said, "I have enough." I remember reading about a king just out in the Orient who was very sick. Years and years ago, of course, they were very superstitious. And they were told by the doctor that if they could find the shirt of the most contented man in the land, and the king would wear the shirt, the king would be healed. That they actually believed that. And so the servants went out over the land looking for the most contented man. And in every neighborhood, finally they came upon one man among many men that they sought. And they came upon a man and they said, this man is the most contented man. So they brought him quickly to the king. But the problem was, he was the most contented man that he didn't own a shirt. That king was being a real fix, wouldn't he? No shirt. And yet they quickly picked him up without realizing. And yet, as the story goes, the king would have to wear the shirt of the most contented man. So you don't have to have a lot of things in life in order to be contented. Sometimes in life we might be deprived of some things. And maybe in the future we may be. On the horizon it may look kind of gloomy. And I'm not going to try to discourage you tonight. I don't want to touch a negative note. But just keep in mind that God in His goodness has given us so much. And we trust Him. We honor Him. He will honor you. Always remember that, all right? You honor Him and He will honor you. You will always have enough. That's the point I want to make. Luke 15:17, here is the enough of restoration and repentance. I will arise and go to my Father. He has many hired servants and He's got bread enough and to spare. The prodigal son realized this and he went back home, and you know the story well, the most touching story in the New Testament. He was gladly received by his daddy, and he was welcomed home with open arms and smothered with kisses, lavished his love upon him. But he said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go home. When he was looking at that pig's food, and he had it up in his hands as if to eat it, and the smell was so obnoxious that he just couldn't. Being a Jewish boy, he was not supposed to even eat anything like that anyhow. And he said, how many hired servants my daddy's got? And I am perishing with hunger. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to tell him I'm sorry that I've sinned against him. Because he has many hired servants. And he's got bread enough and to spare. That's exactly what Malachi said. Beloved, he's got bread enough and to spare. A few loaves and a few fish. He multiplied it with thousands of people. Bread enough and to spare. Always will supply abundantly our need day by day. Oh, what a God we have. What a Savior we have. So we can afford to trust Him. We can afford to believe in Him. However, here again is a condition. Don't be like the prodigal son. Out of fellowship, out of touch with reality, out of touch with his family, and out in the world living in pleasure, living in sin. There was a believer who didn't come out to meetings for quite a while. One of the elders went to see him. And when he went to see him, the brother had his fireplace going, and it was nice and warm. And the elder was very glad for the circumstances. Says, it's good to see you, my brother. And so the elder hardly said a word, and he took the tongs and reached over in the fireplace, and he took out one of the coals out of the fireplace, and he rested on the brick there by the fireplace. And then the red glow of the coal disappeared, and it was nothing but a dark or ashy color. The coal was actually getting cold. And you know, the backsliding brother said, he said, I got your message. I got your message. You see, when you leave the fellowship of God's people, that's what happens to you. You get cold, you get critical, and you get unkind in a lot of your remarks, and you find excuses for staying away. But when you're with the people of God, there's a warmth, there's a fellowship, there's joy, there's strength. And God just pours out a blessing as we listen to His Word week by week. It's good to be together. But when you, just like that coal, taken out of the fireplace. And then, you know, that brother told the elder he was sorry. He realized he's wrong. And he said, I'll be in the meeting, the next meeting. And that brother gave his heart or rededicated his life to the Lord. And he went on for the Lord. Just a little lesson like that. And how wonderful it is. that not only are they enough of restoration like the prodigal son, but of real joy and fellowship. And now Luke 22:38, it's a little different. The disciples said to the Lord Jesus, Savior, look, we've got two swords. I suppose they took them out of their sheath and brandished them. And Jesus said, it is enough. Lord didn't need any sword, but the disciples probably thought he did. Here is the enough of power. I don't need those. Put them up. It's enough. Two swords against 400 men that came to arrest him. In fact, in the same contact, it says, and Jesus went into Gethsemane and prayed. The Lord knew that Calvary was before him. Two swords were never going to deliver him. Peter tried it by cutting that man's ear off. One sword is not enough. Two swords is insufficient. The power that Jesus had, he could have put those men to death, every one of them. Why? When they said, we're looking for Jesus, he said, I am he. They fell back. The power of his word alone, they literally fell back. If the Lord wanted to, it wouldn't have been no difficulty. Every now and then, I'm flipping the channel of my television like it did last night, and, or might have been night before, time escapes me really, and Mel Gibson's movie was on again, and it was just, they were beginning to try him. Pilate said, don't you know I have power to release you? And Jesus turned and looked at him and said, or at least the actor there, but in our true story, you don't have power. And that's what was given by my Father in heaven. You don't have the power. Jesus could have had the power. And then what happened when Pilate washed his hands and subjected him to the executioner's whip, the flogging was really terrible. Some people can't take it. A lot of women can't take that scene. Again and again, they flogged him. And it wasn't an exaggeration. It was not an exaggeration. Mr. Gibson said that all the movies he saw of the crucifixion of Christ, none had come to the real thing. Well, I got news for Mr. Gibson. Neither can he make a movie to come to the real thing. But at least he did his best. He portrayed something. And I couldn't help, like I said, I never turn the dial whenever it comes on. And I just weep because my mind is not to the act itself, but to Christ himself, what he went through for me. You cannot help but weep when you see that. You're moved by it. And he had the power. When they flogged him the way they did, and the whips sticking into his rib cage, and when they pulled it, literally cutting it open, and sometimes entwined around his face, and the crown of thorns on his head, which added to his suffering. Oh, beloved, when you see that Jesus could have, and you know, I have to admit this, I have to admit it, and when he gave up his spirit to his Father God, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and then the sky began to darken, the thunder roared, and the earth began to quake. And then, you know, I had a real thrill. It's a bit of vengeance in my heart. It ought not be, but I had it anyhow. But when those priests went into the temple and they saw the veil ripped from top to bottom, they didn't know what to think or to say. They were in such a confused state. I said, take it. I even said that while I was watching the film. So I said, take it. You take it. Now you'll realize that you crucified the Son of God. I tell you, it was very graphic. But oh, Jesus said, two swords is it's enough. And yet he didn't use a sword. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cried that God the Father would forgive them. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation, He has set me free. All of us can sing that and say that tonight. What a Savior. And so He said, it's enough. In 2 Kings, it's a different scene now. There's a man by the name of Elijah. Great prophet. I'm going to go quickly here. And in chapter 19, Elijah is so discouraged. And he says, Lord, I liken to this to the enough of trials and discouragement. He said, it is enough, O Lord. Take away my life. Let me die. I am not better than my fathers. I'm the only one left, Lord. Let me die. It's enough. I can't handle any more. Paraphrasing it. And God says, get up, Elijah. I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But you know, God in His mercy knows exactly how much pressure to put or allow, I should say, on His servant. He didn't put this pressure on Elijah. He listened to this woman. And that woman said, today, or by this day tomorrow rather, this time tomorrow, Elijah is going to be like that of the prophets of Baal. And he heard those words. And it frightened him. And he ran for his life. But he said, it is enough. Sometimes our dear saints may cry, Lord, I can't take any more. I've had enough. There are some people who for weeks, months, and even years that are suffering. Maybe they too say, Lord, I can't take it. It's enough. Hold back. Move it away from me. You'd be surprised how many people are hurting like that through physical disability, physical illness. They too may be crying. It is enough. One time the famous John Newton, the preacher, came to this sister. Her house had just burned down and she lost everything. All her valuables, everything. John Newton said, I've come, sister, to bring you joy. She said, joy? How can I have joy when I've lost everything? And John Newton replied, I come to bring you joy, sister, for that which fire cannot destroy. You see, you have something as a Christian that even fire and hurricanes can't destroy. You have security. You have serenity. You have peace. You have salvation. You have a home in heaven where thieves can break through and steal. Rust can't deteriorate it. It will never be demolished. You have a home in glory, a beautiful, beautiful place where the Father is and where Christ will be with us. His church throughout the countless ages of eternity. Yes, we have these things. And you cannot even imagine how wealthy you are. Because you are not only a child of God. Romans Paul says you are an heir of God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? A joint heir? Everything that Christ owns, you're a joint heir of that? Can you take that in? I can. Do you believe the word of God? We must. That is the promise of the Lord. Oh, beloved, when we think of this, no wonder Newton says, I bring you joy for that which fire cannot destroy. Hallelujah. He can't destroy your salvation. He cannot destroy your hope. He certainly cannot destroy your heaven. What a day, beloved, when we will be taken home and ushered into His presence. 2 Samuel 24, we have another instance. David, now he's counting the people of God, the soldiers in particular. And he had no right to do that. Well, he did it out of pride. We're not specifically told. But it's something in it that he went against the word of God. And God commanded the angels to chastise Jerusalem. He says, and the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. And the Lord said, it is enough. It is enough. stay your hand. And the angel stopped immediately. And David wept like a child. Because it was because of his sin. In verse 17 of the chapter, David said, I have sinned, I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? 70,000 people died because of David's sin. And yet God told the angel, stay your hand, hold back, it is enough. And I might suggest this is the enough of chastisement. God will not put on us more than we can bear. But he will with grace. Be adequate enough with his grace to supply our need. Always remember that, all right? Sometimes you may think your trial is so difficult. It may get difficult, but it will not be more than you can bear. And he'll always give you grace sufficient to cope with your trial and your problem. And he wants us to believe that. And so 70,000 people died here, true. And David mourned the fact. It was a sad situation. Quickly, Isaiah 56:11. Here's the enough of greed. He says, yea, they are like greedy dogs, and which cannot have enough. This is like a lot of people in the world. Do you know why oil and gas is so high? Because you've got oil tycoons out there, CEO representatives that get millions of dollars of salary. And why some of the banks are crumbling? Because they've invested the money of the banks way beyond what they should. Last night, two of the largest banks, or at least in the group of five, the fifth down banks, went bankrupt. The United States of America. People are worried. Wall Street is down. Dow Jones is down. Stock market is down low. What does this mean? I don't know. But the point is this. The greed of these people with their oil. You see, you can't drink oil. Do you know there are ships, there are oil tankers in galore with sufficient oil and more besides. There's no shortage of oil, but because of the rich, greedy dog that God calls them, that never have enough. It's why they're blackmailing the West. And you and I are punishing a bit too. A bit, not much. A bit here in Spanish well. Folks fail to realize this. There are those who stand in the way. Oh, they will prosper. But they're bent on making other parts of the world poorer. However, God will take care of that. Lastly, in Exodus 36:5, here is the enough of God's gifts, or the gifts rather than service. The people brought, when they were building the tabernacle of the Lord and the furnishings, I love this. I read it over today, and it's just beautiful. But I'm going to give you this verse anyhow. The people bring much more than enough for the service and for the work. They bring free offerings every morning for the stuff that they brought is more than enough. It's mentioned again for the work of God. Man. And it says in verse 6, the latter part of verse 6, and the people had to be restrained. The word restrained is a powerful word. They were forced not to bring any more. Boy, that's a far cry what you hear on television today, all the preachers that you listen to. You'd think they never had anything. But here the people of God just brought and they brought and they brought. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting for a moment you bring more to the church. Thank God we had a very good response today with food down at the center, and tomorrow we hope to have more. We made one shipment this morning to Cat Island, but that's not the hurricane relief. That's something we had 3 weeks ago. I sent it down to the orphanage. That's our third trip there, because we like to be able to send food and clothing for the young ones. They got more there in the orphanage now. And they're very, very happy, you know, every bit of help we could give them. And we're working on getting some facts of Managua, Turks and Caicos. Now we know the conditions in Haiti. The big problem with Haiti right now is how to get it there. One of the boats that out of Miami that Willie and them use was on the rocks in Haiti. And several sailboats that used to go out of Nassau and carry stuff as well, many of them are sunk and destroyed. So missionary flights came in Thursday, full. But maybe next week they will be coming in, and hopefully we might be able to get some stuff on them. Or we're praying that God will open a way for Haiti. You pray along with us in that line, all right? And we'll really appreciate what you have done. With clothing is just amazing. We thank God for the response, toys, and now the food stuff. And we know that Managua needs materials, but that's another project we might have to work on. You pray about it, all right? But always remember, you never can outgive God, and you never can outdo God. He will bless you 100-fold. He promised that. And though, just lean on Him, trust Him. God is sufficient. Jesus is enough. Amen? He's sufficient for all of our needs, and we thank God for it. I trusted the word tonight. I added a few more. I preached on it a long time ago, and I'm using it again, but I've added some things. So, when I went over today, my own heart was searched. Yesterday, really, my heart was searched, and the Lord spoke to me again. So, believe me, I had to preach this to my own heart before I came here to minister to you tonight. You've been so attentive. And thank you again, Youth Choir, for blessing our hearts. Really appreciate that. Your songs mean a lot to us. Keep it up, all right? Father, we thank you indeed for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for what He means to us. Oh, where would we be had He not come and died in our place? We would be miserable. We would be out in the world. Perhaps some of us would have been lost today, not even alive. But, oh, God, you've been so good, so gracious. And the needs about us are many, Lord. You know the situation in Haiti and even in Texas. We know America will quickly respond to the need there. But we thank you for the United States. And even down in Cuba, Father, many are hurting. Their ideology is so contrary to that of the Christianity. But we know that a lot of Christians there as well. So we pray for them. We pray, Lord, that their needs will be met. And the Christians will be allowed to get some of the necessary stuff to them. Remember the folk in Managua and Turks and Caicos. And for Haiti again, we commit those people to you. Lord, be pleased then, just to supply our need. Watch over us. Thank you again for your children that are here tonight. Pray that you'll meet them in their particular need, and that you will suit us a blessing in our Blessed Redeemer's name. Amen. The name of Jesus is so sweet.